And you know, that's a big part of the message, isn't it? Go and tell. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. All I want for Christmas is peace. Amen. Wow. Can we get caught up in the hustle and bustle? Any of y'all tired yet?
Yes.
Yeah, we're already tired and Christmas hadn't even got here. Well, you're not supposed to be getting tired. You ought to be getting excited. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. He came the first time as a lowly babe. He's coming again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got something worth telling, don't we? All I want for Christmas is peace. Now, I got a question I want you to be keeping in the back of your mind because I want to ask you at the end of the sermon. What do you think God wants for Christmas? What do you think God wants for Christmas? And I promise you, on the authority of His Word, He makes it very clear what He wants for Christmas. What does God want for Christmas? Well, you got your place now, don't you? Isaiah 9, Saul stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in the vexation, when at the first the lightly afflicted, the land of Zebulun, and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of the burden and the staff of the shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. I pray for your oil of anointing to be upon all of us today, that we'll hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, as you're seated, would you turn to Luke? And we're going to deal with that verse today. Luke 2:14. Luke 2:14. You got it? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. I'm preaching a series on the gifts of Christmas. We need to discover these gifts. We need to embrace these gifts. And as Alan just sung, we need to go and share these gifts. Amen. We continue to celebrate the Advent because I want us to focus on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day we lit the candle of peace, or the shepherd's candle. Henry W. Longfellow wrote this song after his wife was killed in a tragic accident. I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. So the question must be asked today, what right do we have in this world to believe so strongly in the reality of peace? The answer lies in the meaning of the word itself. For some 277 times the word peace is used in the Old Testament, and some 100 times in the New Testament. Do you think God wants us to know something about His peace? Well, number one, I want to talk about the Prince of Peace. We read that in verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. To Israel, who had been obliterated by war, God promised that He would give them the Prince of Peace. Can you imagine? And that land is still filled with war. Do you know why there's so much war over there? Because those folks have not received the Prince of Peace. I mean, there's so much war because there's not peace on earth. And yet God talks about peace on earth. To a world that talks much about peace but experiences very little of it, God promised that the peace, the Prince of Peace, would be born. And God promised to send the Prince of Peace. Now, what kind of peace would He give? Well, peace with God. To every soul who is at war with God because of their sin, and the Bible says because man has sinned, we are enemies of God. God promised that He would send a Prince of Peace to them. Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you at peace with God this morning? Do you know your sins are forgiven? And then also, the Prince of Peace came that we might have inner peace. The Prince of Peace can grant inner peace to the soul. Even in the midst of storms of life, we have a peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. First of all, let me give you this. The Prince of Peace, He's the source of peace. The people that walked in darkness, it says in Isaiah 9:2, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So peace is from God. And we know this because He has told us that when He comes into a person's life, one of the many gifts that He brings is the gift of peace. Hebrews 13:20 says He is the God of peace. You will not find light for your darkness in the religions of this world. You will not find lasting joy in alcohol or drugs or worldly pleasures. You will not find peace and appeal. Instead, after giving these wonderful promises in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 5, the prophet tells the source of the promised blessing. He says, for unto us a child is born. These promises are all wrapped up as a gift in the birth of the promised Messiah, a Savior who was to come. The hope of Israel, the hope of mankind, is not to be found in some scientific formula or some social advancement of civilization. The hope of mankind is not to be found in the laws of progress. The hope of mankind is not to be found in government, in Congress or in the UN, but the hope of Israel and the hope of all mankind is wrapped up in a Savior whom God has promised, the Prince of Peace. What each person needs and what our world needs is a Savior from God. And that's what this is all about. He is the Prince of Peace. And listen to me carefully. This world will never know peace until the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning. The problem in America and the problem in the world is that the Prince of Peace is not allowed to rule and reign. We need to bow down to the Prince of Peace. He's the source of peace. And then the Bible speaks of the Son of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born and a son is given. Isaiah saw Him coming, the one who would be God's answer for sinners like you and me. He saw Jesus and He described Him as the Wonderful Counselor. He came with wisdom and purpose and a perfect plan. Follow Him as the Mighty God. He will accomplish all He purposes and all that He promises. The devil threw everything he had at Jesus and couldn't do anything to keep God from accomplishing His plan. And Satan, as someone said in my new members class this morning, he comes to church when we come to church. He don't want us to give God our undivided attention. And he sure don't want you to worship the Savior today. He'd rather you days off and dream or go to sleep or something. But I'm going to tell you something. God God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son. He gave Jesus for you. He deserves our undivided attention. He came to reconcile us while we were still in our sin. If we would trust Him and welcome Him as our ruler, Jesus still saves. Do you know that? I read a good little story this week about a father. He was watching his favorite football game. In fact, he was actually a missionary. And when his son came running over, he said, "Dad, can we play? Can you take some time to play with me?" And the dad, who really enjoyed his son, he said to his son, "Well, soon, son, soon." And he went back to watching his football game. And he says, "When this football game is over, I'll play with you." Well, 5 minutes later, the little boy returns, "Dad, can we play now?" "Soon, son, soon. And when this program's finished, I'll play with you." 2 minutes later, the little boy returns, "Dad, is it time to play yet?" And dad realized he's not going to get any peace in watching this ball game of his. And so he looked over to one of his maps that he had of the world. He had all the different countries. There's 195 countries in the world. And he tore it all up in little pieces. And he gave it to his son. He said, "Now, son, when you put all that back together again, we'll play." He figured it'd take him a long time to put all that back together again. So the little boy went off and he began to work. He came back in less than 5 or 10 minutes. And he showed his father he'd put it all back together again. And the dad said, "Son, are you some kind of genius or something? How did you put that together so quickly?" He said, "Well, Dad, on the other side of your missionary paper was a picture of Jesus. And when I put his face back together again, the world just came together." I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we put Jesus back into our lives and we allow Him to be the Prince of Peace, the Son of Peace, will put this old world back together again. Amen? He is the Son of Peace, and He is the Son of God, and God is the source of all peace. And then I want to finish this part about talking about the Spirit of Peace. I wonder if that Spirit is here today. I tell you, I ran into one of our deacons as I was going out the door when I came in for my prayer time today. And he said, "Pastor Ronnie, when I was at the altar, it was like a great light was shining on me. I just felt the Lord's presence in such a real way." Do you have that Spirit of Peace on you? Isaiah 9:3. "Now that thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest." Now notice, I want you to note that. The joy of the harvest. "And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." The spirit of joy and expectation comes from one of the most precious gifts to us, and that's the gift of His Holy Spirit. The spirit of joy of the harvest, the fruit to enjoy the spoils of victory. The Holy Spirit is the giver of this peace, and He dispenses it as a gift. Galatians 5:22, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It means, and there's a lot more to this than I have time to deal with, but listen to just the meaning of the Hebrew word peace, shalom. Completeness, wholeness, health, welfare, safety, soundness, prosperity, fullness, rest, harmony. The connotation is positive. That is, when someone says shalom or peace be unto you, it doesn't mean I hope you don't get into any trouble. It means I hope you have all the highest good coming to you. We should say shalom a lot, shouldn't we? We should wish others well. Most people in our world don't understand peace as a positive concept. All they know is the negative aspect of peace, which is merely the absence of trouble. The true answer to shalom is found in the person of peace. And I want to talk about that now. The person of peace. We've talked about the Prince of Peace. I call Jesus the person of peace because He speaks of a personal peace. This is one of the most powerful verses I've found to be able to make this point. Listen to John 14:27. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. And I want you to take this personal. It was meant to be taken personally. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, it lines up perfectly. You see, the peace the angels sung about is when they sung the song "On Earth and Peace Good Peace with God and Peace with God." They were singing, "Peace is with God." You see, peace is with God. Now, follow me. It's not with the world. That's what Jesus was saying. The peace Jesus is speaking of enables believers to remain calm in the most wildly fearful circumstances. I don't know what you're going through today. You might be going through some trouble. Your heart may be heavy today. But folks, let me tell you something. Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. You don't have to walk around troubled. You don't have to walk around worrying about everything. If you've got Jesus, you've got peace. I'm going to read that verse again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why is it that our hearts get troubled? Why is it that we get overwhelmed with the burdens and the problems of life? Because we're not looking to the one who gives peace. You see, you've got to have an attitude. A right attitude. The attitude that God promised through Jesus Christ to give you peace. I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm here to tell you that He can give you peace. The peace of Christ is a great resource in helping us to know the will of God. Some of you young people need to listen to this verse right now. You're wanting to discover what is God's plan for my life. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule. Are y'all listening? Young people, listen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The word rule in the Greek is barbopro, which means to act as an umpire. Would you let the peace of Christ act like an umpire to help you make decisions? And you know, I read that and it says, and be thankful. You know, you can go through life complaining, or you can go through life being thankful. I promise you, being thankful will give you the right attitude. Amen. Complaining about things will never get you nowhere. Amen. I try not to waste my time with people who just want to complain all the time. I mean, I've had people say, well, you know, I tell you, my hair hurts. I mean, everything hurts. Everything's wrong. Nothing's positive. Jesus said in a very positive way, I give you my peace. The world can't give you what I can give you. By the way, church, these gifts of God, money can't buy. You can't put a price on peace. Amen. Only God can give you peace. Peace with God and peace with your fellow men. Oh, let me tell you something. He is the person of peace. I'd like to stick with that one for a while, but I'll go on. He's perfect peace. Perfect peace. Listen to this. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I know it's one thing to say I trust God, and because I'm going to tell you, there have been times in my life I thought I was trusting God and I won't. How do you trust God? You keep your mind on him. Don't let your mind wander. I pray this prayer every day for my life. Lord, keep me close, clean, and clear. Keep me closed, clean, and clear. And by the way, I'm claiming that in my life. I don't know if you want to walk around with the burden. You're talking about stress of unforgiveness and grudges you're holding on to. You're not going to have any peace. I'm praying every day for me. God, keep me close to you. Keep me clean of all the junk. And keep me clear. My thinking when I pray that, God, clear my mind of the clutter. Amen. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Boy, it's easy to get your mind full of clutter. Then you can't think straight. You know, I like sports, and I like it when a baseball player, you know, he hits the ball and he hits it, it's called the sweet spot. I mean, it's just perfect. I mean, you know, there's just sometimes in sports, I don't know if it's a gift or what it is, that some people, it just seems like they are a sweet spot. I mean, they just do it right, you know. I'll tell you, Jesus did it right. He hit a home run for every one of us. And I'm here to tell you, you can know perfect peace. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. He said peace on earth. I don't see any peace on earth. Look up here, church. It starts with your earth. Where you are. That's where the peace starts. It starts with you. And if every one of us would live a life as a peacemaker, our world would be at peace, would it not? The Bible says we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Well, if everybody did that, there'd be no war, right? Peace starts with you. And the reason there's conflict in marriages, I'm going to tell it like it is now, and there's conflicts in home, it's because somebody's not being a peacemaker. Someone's being a troublemaker. I know what you ladies think. It's usually us guys. And you're probably right. A lot of truth. You know, we had this marriage seminar here, and they said all men have a nothing box. Sherry said, I don't have that. She said, you're always thinking about something. But the thing about it is, we all are guilty. And we need, everybody look up here. Don't be looking at your wife. We all need to be quick to forgive.
Amen.
Because that's what God's done for us. Yes. You want peace in your home, guys? Forgive.
Yep.
Ladies, you want peace in your home? Forgive. Children, you want peace in your home? Don't be fussing. Don't be raising your voice. And respect your parents.
Amen.
It brings respect. I tell you, if respect was in the home, we'd have a lot more peace. I grew up in a home that I said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I never spoke to my mama by, man, I didn't, her first name's Mary, but I've never called my mom Mary. I always said yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. I was taught respect. To this day, I believe that the one thing that's lacking in our lives, and the reason we don't have peace, we don't have respect for each other.
Amen.
We need to have some respect among people today. Perfect peace comes from God. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you always. And then it's a promised peace. Isaiah 9:4, for thou hast broken the yoke of this burden, of his burden, and the staff of the shoulder, the rod of the oppressor. Here's the promise of light, Isaiah 9:2. The people had walked in darkness, but now they have seen the light. They have seen a great light. I'm telling you what, Jesus is the light of the world, and we need some light today. There's too much darkness in the world. People today are walking in darkness, and we need to be walking in light. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He is the light of the world, and he's the light that will light up your life. Amen? He is the promised peace. But not only the promise of light, there's the promise of liberty. He said he came to deliver the captive, those who had been captive by the enemy. We had been taken captive by the enemy, the devil. Let me tell you something, friend. Sin will cost you a lot. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll carry you in places you don't want to go. But I'll tell you, Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to give you freedom. I believe that's why there ought to be freedom in church. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We come to church and we're all bound up. A lot of folks come to church and say, oh, church. Oh, I don't know about church now. But I'm going to tell you something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is joy. I don't believe church ought to be dead because I don't serve a dead God. And the only reason churches are dead is because people are dead. God's not dead. I think the Lord just led me to say that. He's alive. Then why aren't we alive? Most churches look like they're dead as 4 o'clock. I mean, most of them, people look like they're mad at the world. I'll tell you what I don't like. Someone told me the other day, what is Christmas? And I just showed Charlie Brown's video the other Sunday. He answered, what is Christmas? He read the Christmas story. Even Charlie Brown knows what Christmas is all about. He's the promised peace. He's the promise of light, the promise of liberty. Satan would love to keep you in the dark, but Jesus came to give you light. And then last, and I'm done, the presence of peace. We've talked about the Prince of Peace. We talked about the Person of Peace. Now we're going to talk about my favorite, the Presence of Peace. Put it all together, because here's the thing I want you to get. God's here today. He really is. Peace comes. You might want to write this one down. I did. Peace comes, not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, you will have trouble. I said, Jesus said, you will have trouble.
Yep.
In church sometimes, there's trouble. We all find trouble everywhere around us. We live in a fallen state, y'all. A lot of folks say, well, where is God? Why has God allowed all this? Folks, we live in a fallen world. It's our sin that has brought this upon us. But I want to preach this real good today, real good. Peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. You want peace? Then welcome the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
I like it. Now, Sherry's got it written all over the walls in our house. I mean, it's written. What is that saying? I should remember. I look at it. Let's see. What does it say on the big wall?
When you can't see his hand, trust his heart.
There's another one. She's done all this stuff. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. By the way, this kind of thing works in a house. Because the Bible does say, write it up on the wall.
Amen.
It's written, and I mean, she's got it in big letters. I mean, you're going to see that. And you know what? We welcome the presence of God in our house. And the Bible says, when you go into a house, salute it with peace. Did you know that? Yeah. And if you're not received, you knock the dust off your feet and you go on. We need peace in our houses, in our homes today. Amen. The only way we're going to have this peace, are y'all listening, guys? You got to have the presence of the Lord in your house. Church starts at home. And every man is obligated before God, every man, every husband, every father, it is your responsibility to say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you don't do anything. Don't do anything to hinder that. Don't mess it up now. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Welcome the presence of God in your house. The presence of peace. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Woo! Glory to God. Thank God for that. That he took the pain and the problems that I've got. Hey, you know why I'm going to live in joy? Because Jesus has got my problems. He's got my troubles. Why should I live with a burden on my shoulder? Why would I walk around with the pains of life when Jesus said, Ronnie, I've got this. I've got a good friend of mine in my first church. That's his saying. He says, God's got this. God's got this. Why worry? There was this man, I've told you about him. He worried about everything. And he was a faithful member of his church, and he was always worrying the pastor because he was always complaining. Everything was wrong. I mean, the church didn't get clean right. I mean, somebody cut the light on wrong. I mean, someone looked wrong at him. Everything was wrong at church, and this man was a worry freak. So the pastor was having this guest preacher to come in, and he said, listen, I got one member. He's crazy. He said, I'm telling you, this guy's always complaining. He's always griping. He's always worried about this and that and the other. Just don't ask him how he's doing. He'll tell you that, you know, his toenail hurts or something. He's always complaining about something. Well, the man went out the door. The guest preacher said, how are you? He said, I'm fine. He said, Jesus is on his throne. Oh, glory to God. This is an awesome service. I enjoyed your preaching today. The pastor, feeling like the biggest liar there was, looked at the man and said, man, what's going on? You've always been a complainer. You've always been a worrier. Now you're praising God. What changed? He said, well, I hired me a worrier. He said, well, how did you hire a worrier? He said, you can't afford or you can't pay somebody to worry for you. He said, I did. This man told me he'd take all my worries. He said, well, it costs much. He said, yeah, it costs $500 a week. He said, well, how can you afford that? He said, I can't. I'm going to let him worry about it. That's exactly who we've got in Jesus. Let him worry about it. Now, that's easier said than done, but can you let him worry about it? Jesus said, cast all my cares on me because I care for you. So you don't believe that God cares for you if you're going to still carry these burdens. He said, cast all your care on me. All right, let me give it to you. Earth. We're talking about the presence of God on earth. Luke 2:14. Where he said, and on earth, peace. When will there be peace on earth? When the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning. It starts with one person at a time. Have you allowed peace to come into your part of the world, in your heart, your home, your church? An artist painted a picture of a dark winter day. The trees were bleak and bare. The ground was black with rotten leaves. The sky was somber, heavy with the bitter blizzard snow. In the center of the picture was a house, as gray and desolated as the scene in which it was a part. But when the artist dipped his brush into a tiny touch of yellow gold, and with a few skillful strokes, he put a light in the window of the house, and instantly the whole picture was transformed. The light symbolized warmth, love, home, and peace. You want peace on earth? Then then let the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine bright in your life. I'm telling you, Jesus said, you're to be light and salt because I've put my peace in you. I've given you my light. I've given you my life. And Jesus came to earth so that he could become one of us so we could become one of him. That's the plan. All right, the second word I want to give you is Emmanuel. We've talked a lot about this word this season. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Luke 2:14. He says, and goodwill, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. Meaning God's favor is with man. Are y'all with me? That's what it means. Goodwill toward man means God's favor is with you. Emmanuel means that God is with you. And the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? I'm telling you, greater is he that's in us. God is with us. He is in us. He is the Emmanuel. You're talking about the presence of God. Hey, you know what? I get excited about this. Oh, Adam and Eve, the Bible says they walk with God, but Jesus lives in us.
Amen.
We've got much more. You think about Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5 teaches this, that Adam and Eve, they had sinned against God, which alienated them. There was enmity between them and God because of their sin. But when Jesus came in, he came into your life.
Amen.
God don't just walk with you. He lives in you.
Amen.
Through Jesus. Amen. I get excited about that because, hey, I don't have to go to a pope or a priest or a preacher. I got God in me. All I got to do is call on his name. Hey, God is with us. And by the way, church, somebody needs to hear this today. I don't know who it is. He's not against you.
Amen.
God's not against you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Last word, the word's everlasting. It is an everlasting peace. Because we have an everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6. The everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government, listen, and peace, there shall be no end. The everlasting Father does not suggest that the Son is also the Father, for each person in the Godhead is distinct. But among the Jews, the word Father means originator or source. For example, Satan is the father or the originator of lies, John 8:44. So Jesus is the source of what? Notice what Jesus is not just called a Father here, but the everlasting Father or the source of eternity. He is the source of eternal life, for he is eternal. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Though born in Bethlehem in time, he had come from eternity past, and he will live through eternity future. And that is why in verse 7, God promises that this king will establish an eternal kingdom. So Jesus is the source of eternity. If you want anything eternal, you must get it from Jesus Christ. He is the everlasting one. I tell you, friend, what I'm preaching today lasts forever.
Amen.
There's nothing on this earth that's lasting. The Bible says, love not the world, and yet we do it at Christmas time. We get very commercial. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of my Father will abide forever. I said forever. I tell you, everything about God, everything about Jesus Christ is everlasting. You can't buy that, can you? You know, you think about it. Everything we have, even the body we live in, it's decaying. Everything falls apart. Look up here, church. I'm almost done. All this stuff that's falling apart in your life, could it be that you've put more of your faith in all this stuff instead of the one who says, I'll be with you forever. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then don't leave and forsake him. So the question is, what have you been thinking? What does God want for Christmas? Have you ever wondered what God wants for Christmas? Now, I'm going to use this little secular song, so don't get off on it now. It's a romantic song. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true, because all I want for Christmas is you. That's all that God wants. Look up here, young people. He wants you. Your life surrendered to Him. We'll go out here and spend money on children left and right for Christmas. And we'll miss what Christmas is all about. Somebody today is fixing to walk out that door and you're going to miss what Christmas is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came to this world for one reason. To die for you. He didn't need to die for him. He'd never sinned. It was you. It was you and you. Oh, over here, back yonder. You folks back there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kobe, I'm talking to you. You. He died for you. You know that? Yeah, yeah. Back over here. David, do you know Jesus died for you? Yeah, it was you. You say, well, I'm just one of many. No, it was just you. Because if you were the only person living, he still would have died. Amen? Wow, then you must be something special. You are. It's so bad when we beat ourselves up in this life. And our worst enemy is ourselves. We live with low self-esteem. Look up here, I'm almost done. We live with guilt and shame. When Jesus said, I come that you might have peace. Do you have that peace? What does God want for Christmas? You. He just wants you. He is peace. He just wants you. And if He gets you, guess what you get?
Peace.
Peace with God and peace with man. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I believe God's going to do a work here today. If someone here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm telling you today, He is the Prince of Peace. That is, He's the Savior of the world. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who went to that cross. He is the Son of Peace. And I'm going to tell you something. The presence of the Lord is here today. It really is. He's the presence of peace. Would you allow His peace to come to your life? Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Maybe this is the first time you've come to this service and God has spoken to your heart today and you'd like to know this Prince of Peace. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to pray with you a simple sinner's prayer. You make it your prayer and you let it come from your heart to God. You've never received Christ, but you'd like to today. There's three things you need to do. Realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Christ. Would you receive God's gift of peace right now? I'm going to pray right now, I'm going to pray it slow so you can repeat it. And you pray it silently. You don't pray it out loud, but just pray it silently. And let this be your prayer to God. All right, I'm going to start the prayer now. You make it your prayer if you want to receive Christ as your Savior today. You want to know the Prince of Peace. Simply pray this prayer. Say, Dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross for all my sins. I believe He rose again. That I might have life and have it everlasting. I know I've sinned, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my heart and save my soul. From this day forward, I accept the Prince of Peace. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.